832 55 KRCD Talk Station. That man is Judge Ed Napolitano. And always a real pleasure to have him on. Every Wednesday at 8:30, we get to hear the voice of reason, who is Judge Napolitano. Welcome back, Your Honor. It's a real pleasure. And I will let you know right now that Congressman Thomas Massey, I just got off the Comrex line with him. He's still listening right now through the Comrex line. He wanted me to let you know he said hello.
Oh, I appreciate that. I also appreciate Ingram. No matter what we say about him, he's a terrific guy.
Yeah, he is. He is. And it is raining.
Did you ask Congressman Massey about this line? Quote, "The best $500 I ever spent," unquote.
No, did not. Did not. Although I'm
the
certain.
The reference, of course, is to his having been fined for being on the floor of the House of Representatives, where he's impervious from any kind of prosecution under the speech and debate clause of the Constitution for not wearing a mask. I think he meant he was joyful that he got away without wearing the mask.
I'm sure of that. This first story that you wanted to get into, it just I laughed at the scenario. Now, I have concerns, and I think maybe you do, too. I'm trying to anticipate where you're going on this, because it sounds to me like it's probably unconstitutional, but the FBI landed this special encrypted app that allowed these a whole lot of criminals to communicate about their criminal activity, and they did it without hiding their words. They talked about drugs. They talk about murder. So all this criminal enterprise is revealed because the FBI has the mechanism, the underlying software that can decrypt these conversations, and they got that from the guy who created the software because he wanted to get a better plea deal. So he gives them, through the back door, the ability to spy on all these criminals, and then there's this big, I guess, dragnet-type arrest, and hundreds of people, 500 charges, tons of drugs, millions in cash are all collected. Can they do that?
Gee, I guess they forgot about the Fourth Amendment.
That's what I was wondering.
Which requires a warrant issued by a judge based on probable cause in order to engage in surveillance.
As to each individual, right? I mean,
correct.
Get a blanket.
The Fourth Amendment is the most specific part of the entire Constitution because it says the warrant must specifically describe the place to be searched or the person or thing to be seized. I'm quoting it. And, of course, this with no warrant whatsoever.
Right.
This is just the use of another piece of electronic equipment, which we all know and call as an app, though this is not a publicly available app, apparently.
It was like a dark web kind of thing, wasn't it?
Right. In order to surveil their conversations. You know, if the FBI were here or on the line with us, I would say, what did you think you were accomplishing? Because you know you can't introduce any of this
right in
court. And they
motion
say,
to suppress.
Well, you're probably right, but we got $100 million worth of drugs off the street. That's their justification, which is an unconstitutional
but
practical and popular justification. Guess what? None of those people is going to be prosecuted for anything on the basis of anything that the FBI overheard because they did it without a warrant. Unless there's a warrant and we don't know about it, it doesn't appear that there is, or they would have told us by now. If there is a warrant, this is the most massive lawful surveillance probably in the history of the world. Without a warrant, it's the most massive unlawful surveillance in the history of the world, except for what the NSA does to all of us every day.
Every single day, right, which is listen to all of our communications and read all of our emails and texts. Yeah, that's just god-awful to even contemplate.
So I'm scratching my head as to how they think they can get away with this, unless their goal was scare people, get drugs off the street. They can't use these conversations, and they can't use the fruits of the conversations. They can't use what they learned from the conversations
exactly in
any prosecution. So where are they going with this?
It's like fruit of the poisonous tree kind of argument. That, you know, if the mechanism was illegal from the get-go, you can't, you know, go ahead and gather evidence based on that and prosecute them for it. But the bigger problem is, I understand maybe the motivation. If it's only drugs, and they wanted to get drugs off the street, and there they are sitting in a warehouse. We found out about it because we listened to their communications. Okay, we succeeded in getting the drugs off the street. Those guys, they're not going to be prosecuted. But this is way beyond that. This involved murder and other heinous crimes that you would want someone to be prosecuted for. I mean, there's a dead person out there.
They may very well have blown the opportunity to prosecute these people. You know, if some thug on one of these calls is admitting to murder and that admission is not valid anymore, and he now knows that his voice is on that call. Where's the evidence of the murder? Probably destroyed to the extent that he can do so. So this may have a counterproductive effect. But one way in which this was successful is probably in the 15 other countries that did it, where they don't have a Fourth Amendment, or where their version of the Fourth Amendment is so weak that this type of behavior by the police would be lawful and laudatory. But it's not lawful, it's not laudatory, and it directly violates the Constitution, no matter how bad these people are, and no matter how many drugs they have in the street. A word on the war on drugs. Nothing has been more dangerous and destructive to our civil liberties in America than the war on drugs going back to the 1960s.
Amen.
We are beginning to recognize that with marijuana. When we recognize that you own your own body, and as an adult you have the right to put into your own body whatever you want and accept the consequences, and it's none of the government's business, then maybe our Fourth Amendment rights will be vibrant.
You know what? I wish I had a recording of my comments this morning, because this one was word for word about what I said. You know, just because you could go down to the Walmart someday and maybe buy heroin, are you really going to do it? I mean, there's a million reasons why you wouldn't do that, and the change
Correct.
In the law would only protect us from unreasonable searches and seizures by our government. Anyhow, on to topic number two, which is what in the hell happened that law enforcement wasn't a little bit more on the ball in advance of the so-called riots on January 6th, the storming of the Capitol?
You know, this brings us back to my comment about the NSA. The NSA has 60,000 spies. About 5% of them are military. The rest are civilian, either directly employed by the government or outside contractors where the government has a contract with their company they work for, with their employer. They capture every keystroke on every device, mobile and stationary. They capture the contents of every telephone call. Now, this is overkill, and they capture every piece of data transferred on fiber optic cable in the United States. That's medical, financial, legal. So they have everything. Do they use it? No. Well, why do they have it? Because they can. Because they somehow think it's going to keep us safe. If they can't use the information they've obtained from spying on us to keep the government, their employer, safe,
right,
then we know they're not going to use that information to keep us safe.
Well, the problem is it's just such an overwhelming amount of information. Can you imagine?
Correct.
I'm sure somebody's got the figure. How many, just pick some category, how many texts do you think are sent by Americans within the confines of the 50 United States every single day? I bet it's billions.
I'm sure it's billions. One estimate is that if you were to print the material that they gather in a year, it would fill four times the Library of Congress.
Oh, my word.
So why do they do this? They do it because they can. They do it because they want to give the false impression,
yeah,
that they are keeping us safe. And they do it because they don't care about the Fourth Amendment. And they do it because every president, even Donald Trump, who was victimized, personally,
yeah,
victimized by this kind of spying, every president since George W. Bush, who started all this, has renewed it, including President Biden.
Yeah, I just find that utterly
offensive. So all the spying
offensive.
Helps no one.
Yeah, and that's interesting.
When Jim Comey was the head of the FBI and was trying to get into the cell phones of a husband and wife murderous couple that had slaughtered 25 people in San Bernardino, California, he knew that the NSA could get in those cell phones for him, but the NSA wouldn't do it because then they would have to admit that they had the contents of everybody's cell phone.
Oh, but going back to our earlier conversation, they couldn't use it anyway because they don't have a search warrant that would allow them to do that. So we could, like, if, for example, they were prosecuting you or me and the information came from the NSA, wouldn't we be able to file that a motion to suppress based upon
Correct.
A violation of our constitutional rights?
Correct. So now the question remains, back to your original question about January 6th, who in the government knew about it ahead of time and did nothing about it? Five people died. The vice president came within a few inches of his life.
Wow. All that money, all that effort
now,
to no
the
end.
The flip side of this is, and here's the danger, and the danger comes from Merrick Garland, who's the Attorney General of the United States. The danger now is surveillance of conservative and libertarian groups and a pro-Trump groups. Surveillance to sort of find out ahead of time where they're going to be meeting and what their thinking is. Surveillance, which if it doesn't mature into a prosecution, is still a violation of the Fourth Amendment, but you won't even know they're surveilling you if they don't charge you with anything. That's the danger that we face now. And Merrick Garland has pretty much said, we're interested in preventing crime rather than investigating. Well, how do you prevent crime? You prevent crime by surveilling people. And how do you get this surveillance? You just do it anyway, because no judge is going to give you a search warrant if there's no probable cause of crime.
Well, unless you're in a FISA court.
Right. In which case, they love when I say this. In which case, the judges aren't real judges. They're clerks. All they do is stamp approved to everything the NSA and the federal prosecutors ask for.
Even if the affidavit is based upon forged, made-up information, as we have seen demonstrated, and without much impact on the FBI agent who lied to the FISA court.
And even if the victim is the president of the United States. Whatever you think of him, he has the same civil liberties as the rest of us. And what they did was reprehensible, unlawful, unconstitutional, and with the exception of one FBI lawyer who got sentenced to 2 years of probation, no one in the federal government was punished for it.
Frightening reality. Judge Annapolitano, a real pleasure, as always, diving into these issues with you. I'll look forward to next Wednesday, as I always do.
I want Congressman Massey to go on the floor of the House of Representatives this morning and remind Mrs. Pelosi that we still have a Constitution and it means what it says.
He heard you. He heard you. We both got our popcorn out waiting to see if he follows through with it, Your Honor.
And only he can do it.
You know it. Until next Wednesday, stay well, my friend.
All the best, Brian. Thank you.
Take care. 844-55 CAREcity.